We're chasing the secrets to success, and this week we're sponsored by Harrys.com.
Rolling.
Rolling.
All right. Welcome back to SpartanUpPodcast.com. We're in the Amy Barn. I've got amazing people. We got Marion, probably the most amazing of all, in her wicked blue coat behind the camera. Marion's very humble. She's laughing.
Our real name is Melissa.
I got another guy. He's okay. I got an okay guy beside me, Joe DeSena. I've got Colonel,
less than okay.
Colonel Tim Nye. No, yeah, more nice. Than okay. Colonel, right, the legend,
nice.
Colonel Tim Nye.
Very
nice. And then we've got Sephir. I'm saving the best to last right here on the end. Also a legend.
I think you're building a following.
She's a budding legend. You should see the fan mail we get. If you want to send any fan mail to Sephir. So, the School of Greatness. This was really cool. A guy named Lewis Howes has created a very popular podcast called The School of Greatness. Joe met with him. All I want to tell you about this is a guy who's going to the Olympics. In a way you will not believe.
All right, we are here at Spartan Up the Podcast with Lewis Howes, who owns School of Greatness. Is it that's the School of Greatness?
School of Greatness, yeah.
So that's what we're trying to find here with Spartan Up is interviewing people to find out what makes somebody great. Mm. Is it, you know, motivation? Is it perseverance? Is it,
sure.
What is it that makes somebody great? And can it be made, forged, or does it have to be born, right? Is it something that you're born with or not?
Yeah.
What have you found?
I don't think you need to be born with it. I think you can be made. And that's what you talk about in your book as well. You can create greatness.
Yeah.
You can create excellence and create the things you want. But I think it starts with a vision. I think if you don't have a vision, you don't know where you want to go, then it's hard to achieve anything.
So a goal. You need a goal.
Some type of vision, yeah.
Right.
So you can have a path on how to get there.
What was your path?
Originally, I wanted to be an NFL football player. Yeah, play in the NFL and be a professional athlete. That was my dream as a kid. And I made it to the Arena Football League. And then I got injured. I broke my wrist right here. I had surgery. I was in a cast from here to here for 6 months. Mm. So I couldn't bend it. I couldn't straighten it. I couldn't do anything. And so I made my goal of being a pro athlete. Didn't make the NFL. And then I had to transition to figure out what I was going to do next in my life.
Which is tough, right, for a lot of athletes to do that.
Yes, yes. Especially, I mean, even the ones that retire on top, you know, Junior Seau committed suicide 2 years after he retired because it was like, what do I do next?
Well, because your whole life, as you just described, right, you set that goal if you're one of those kind of people.
Yes.
And everything is pointing in that direction.
That's it.
When it's over, then what, right?
Exactly. And I didn't graduate college at the time yet, so I was like, what do I do next? I had no clue.
But you were able to put it together.
I was. Another point of greatness, I think, is having great mentors, coaches, and a support team around you,
right.
Friends, staff, whatever it may be. And I reached out immediately to my brother, my family, some mentors who were really successful that I wanted to emulate, and just asked them, you know, what would you do? And asked them about what they did in their lives.
You know, on that note, I don't know if you found this, there's a lot of people that are jealous around successful people. Mm-hmm. Where I grew up, we wanted to emulate successful people. We want to get close to them. We want to find out what they could teach us, how we could earn off them somehow.
Sure.
And I'm trying to figure out why some people are able to go do that and others actually are jealous of them and don't get any of those benefits. Like, what do you think that is? Is that an ego thing?
I think a lot of it's a mindset thing. I think it depends on who we're surrounded by and what we're taught, I think, growing up. If we're taught that money is bad and success is bad, or these people are bad because they're successful, then we're gonna have a certain belief.
Right.
So unless we shift the belief and start thinking differently, then it's gonna be a challenge to get what we want if we think what we want is bad.
No, that's a good point. I think a lot of people do think success and money is bad, right?
Yeah.
Like the whole Occupy Wall Street thing or whatever, there's a negativity associated with it. And if somebody's successful, they must have did it in some evil way.
Yes.
And part of that might be, I don't know what your thoughts are here, but part of that might simply be, well, if you haven't made it, if you're one of those people and you haven't made it, right, you've got to create stories in your head.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Stories either what's wrong with me or what do they have that I don't have
or they must have did it in a bad way.
Yeah, and then a lot of times people become victims. They say, well, I don't have what he has, or he grew up a certain way, she grew up a certain way, she had this parents who supported her, so I'm not gonna be able to make it happen. So they don't believe in themselves. Is another key factor.
Yeah, so how do you change that? How do you know, there's millions of Spartans out there and they want to be successful, and whether it's relationship, business, whatever. How do you change that?
Well, you talk about this, and I think it's taking having a vision, that could be big, could be small, but then achieving small goals along the way. I think for me, easily I can refer to it just a season of football. You know, each week you want to achieve one little goal. I want to not drop a pass this week, or only drop a couple, not as many as I did the last week. So achieving something so you can build the confidence within, the belief that you can be better, and then striving to be better the next time.
Yeah. Yeah, I am. If you're doing a 100-mile run, if you're focused on mile 100, you're dead in the water.
But 1 mile at a time, right?
Yeah.
One step, even.
A mountain climber recently said to me, focus on the 3 feet around them. That's it. If you're focused on 2,000 feet above, you're dead.
Screwed.
3 feet. This is all you can control right in front of you.
3 feet at a time.
That's it.
Yeah.
Right? And I've heard it over and over and over, whether it's special forces, mountain climbers, athletes.
Yeah. I mean, it's boxing as well. You can't think about the last round, which could be knocked out.
Yeah, this is it. What can I control right now?
Yeah, the moment. And that's what, you know, talking about flow, more focusing on the moment, having the vision, the big vision, and then living in the moment, that's what's going to get our optimal performance coming from that, is being in the moment, getting in the flow, which is what Stephen Kotler talks about, obviously.
Yeah. So, what was your diet like growing up? Were you...
Bad. Yeah. Really bad. And I remember I wasn't educated in diet. And I remember always yawning in competition. Like, I would train really hard. It was hard for me to recover. And I would yawn in practices. I would yawn in competition. I got enough sleep, but I would eat so much pasta right before games, so much bread, because that's what I thought we were supposed to eat.
Yeah.
That's what coaches told us to eat.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I moved to like New York City, I started gaining a lot of weight after football, put on like 35 pounds. It's funny, I could never put on the weight during the season because I was just running so much, but afterwards I was able to put it all on.
Sure.
People started, my siblings calling me Fluis, for Fat Lewis, because like my gut got so big and like my underwear was folding over. And I was like, this is unacceptable. So I started researching, and I started drinking green juice every day. I started eating lots of vegetables and just cutting out the
garbage.
The wheat, yeah.
Yeah.
The wheat, the gluten, the sugars.
You don't eat right now? You don't eat pasta, bread, or pizza or anything?
Not all the time. I still eat it, yeah.
Sneak it.
I sneak it, yeah. But I mean, obviously I can feel it more.
Tell you what, I got off, I grew up in an Italian neighborhood, an Italian house, and all we ate was pasta, pizza, and I mean, all we ate, all we talked about. At 42, I'm 45 now, at 42 I found out I'm allergic to gluten.
Right.
Right, because I've been a mess my whole life, but I didn't know why.
Right.
There's no way an Italian would possibly be allergic to gluten, but I was.
Right.
And
you're in great shape now.
Changed my life. Like, yeah. I can't gain negative weight in a bad way, right? I just can't do it because I don't eat gluten.
Right.
I can eat as much as I want. Doesn't...
And you're fine still.
All my weight does not go up.
Do you eat sugar too?
Once a month I'll have some vanilla ice cream.
That's my advice, man.
Yeah, I love vanilla ice cream.
So, I love it.
Yeah. But you know what? If you stay off it long enough, then when you do it, you feel... Well, yeah, because then you feel a little sick, and then the next time it goes from a month
longer.
To... Exactly.
Yeah.
That's what I'm finding.
I went no sugar for 30 days, and I lost 28 pounds in 30 days, just cutting out sugar.
Wow. So no soda, no sugar.
No candy, pops,
no juice?
No, nothing. I had a banana once every other day in a smoothie, but unsweetened almond milk, like everything.
How'd you feel?
Incredible. Yeah.
It's unbelievable, right?
It looks great too.
Yeah, it's a game changer. You're back on sugar?
I am, yeah. Not as much, so I manage it a lot better. Yeah, so I used to have sugar after every meal. And I would eat candy bars in between meals and just, because that's what I did playing sports.
It's
I couldn't eat enough.
Right. It's hard socially too, right? Because if you're with somebody and then they're eating something, then you're eating something.
I go out to dinners a lot, so I always want to get a dessert. But I don't drink or smoke, so I'm always like, well, I can have candy every now and then.
Did you drink or smoke at some
point? Never been drunk, never been high, never smoked.
Yeah, I never did either. So what was the, what do you think the impetus was?
For me, I was never the best athlete, but my dream was so strong, what I wanted to achieve, that I was willing to do whatever it took.
Did somebody say to you, hey, if you drink, smoke, or?
No, all my teammates drank in college. They were all like partying constantly, drinking. I was the only guy on the team that did not drink.
You were an outlier.
And I was like, I need to be the only one focusing on like my body. I didn't know about the sugar thing was messing me up, or the carbs, the pasta.
Sure.
But I knew that like drinking, they couldn't recover fast enough. And we'd have to practice the next day and they were slow.
Were you outperforming people? Or?
Yeah. I mean, I would when I would show up the next day clean, you know?
Yeah, right. Sure.
Yeah. Because I wasn't the best athlete, so I had to find other ways.
I hope you're not sitting still while you listen. If you are, you better get a burpee break in.
I just got my first Harry's delivery, and I got the best shave I've had in a long time at an amazing price. Like Spartan, Harry's this month is supporting the Movember Foundation and donating money to help raise awareness for men's health. So go to harrys.com now, and Harry's will give you $5 off if you type in my code SpartanUp with your first purchase. That's HARRYS.com and enter coupon code SpartanUp at checkout for $5 off the starter set and start shaving smarter today.
We're back from the camera break. Mike was having a tough time holding the camera. What happened? He was obviously drinking last night.
Yeah, right.
What happened when you were out of football?
Yeah.
Did you go off the rails and start drinking and eating ice cream and falling apart?
I never started drinking or smoking or anything like that, but sugar, it was like I was eating just as much without working out.
Right.
Because I couldn't work out for about a year and a half. I was doing some stuff, but not much.
What were you doing in New York at the time?
I moved to New York because when I was in my cast, the 2008 Olympics was on, and I'm a huge Olympic fan. I've always wanted to be an Olympian. I was an All-American decathlete in college, and I thought maybe this could be my way to go to the Olympics, but I knew I wasn't as talented as these top decathletes. They were so good. So I decided to play football instead and make my shot at the NFL. Didn't make that. So now I'm like, what am I gonna do next? The Olympics come on, I'm in my cast, and at 3 a.m.
You're watching ping pong.
Close. At 3 a.m. one night, they show a highlight for a sport called team handball. And I'd never seen the sport before, never heard of it. I thought handball was a game where you hit a ball against the wall, right, like in Brooklyn.
That's what I thought, yeah.
But there's a handball in the Olympics that is huge all over the world except for the United States. Specifically in Europe, it's huge. 39 million people play it all over the world.
You know, I think I saw it, maybe I saw it in Spain. I don't know.
It's big in Spain.
Okay.
I went to go play there last year for a bit.
Is it a fenced...
It's on like a big basketball court.
Okay.
Imagine water polo without the water.
Okay.
So you're running up on it, or it's like soccer with your hands.
What size ball?
It's kind of like a mini basketball.
Okay.
You can dribble, you pass.
And how many members are on your team?
7-on-7.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that was it? You were hooked?
I was hooked. And there wasn't any teams in Ohio. It's a very small, there's like amateur club teams all over the U.S.
Yep.
In major cities, but there wasn't a team in Ohio. So I did research on it. I was like, how can I make the Olympic squad with this sport? And I saw that the New York City club team was the national champions for the USA for the last 3 years. Right. So I said, and I'm broke at the time, living on my sister's couch.
With a cast. Right.
Not knowing what I'm gonna do,
and
no college degree.
And a pint of ice cream.
Yes, every night.
Right.
And I'm asking myself, I tell myself, I'm gonna learn how to make money. I didn't know how to make money. So I'm gonna learn how to make money, I'm gonna move to New York City, I'm gonna make the USA national handball team, and I'm gonna go to the Olympics.
So you had your vision.
I knew exactly what I wanted.
Right.
So 2.5 years later, my business, I do over $1 million in sales in my business that I started.
What business?
I was creating online marketing products, mostly social media trainings for business owners. I got into LinkedIn early on.
Oh, nice.
Really spent all day on LinkedIn for like a year to try to like build connections and relationships and just find an opportunity.
Sure.
And other people started asking me for help with their LinkedIn profile. So I started teaching people one-on-one, then wrote a book, then created courses, did events, the whole thing that way.
Nice.
And other people wanted other social media trainings for their business, so I started to develop those as well. So I built this business up, and I had enough money that I moved out of my sister's couch, where I was living for free for a year and a half.
And now it's 2010, mid-2010. Yeah.
And I saved up enough money, I said, now's the time for me to go to New York. So I moved to New York City.
And you still haven't played the sport yet?
Never played it.
Right, but you've been on LinkedIn, so you must be good by now.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah. Right. So I moved there, but I started training again, so I'm like, you know, working out, I'm doing that thing.
Well, the ball, or you're not even training with the ball?
I'm working out.
All right.
Yeah, just working out.
You're lifting.
Yeah, lifting.
Exactly what they need in handball.
Exactly.
Right.
So I show up to practice. I'm the only American there. It's all
on the New York team.
Yeah, there's all Europeans, people from all over the world who used to play professional handball in Europe that then moved to New York City after they retired to work or live. I show up and I tell them, hey guys, my name is Lewis Howes. I just moved from Ohio. I'm here to make the USA national team and go to the Olympics in handball. They all laughed at me, talking all the other language behind my back, like,
who the hell is this guy?
Yeah, who is this guy I think he is?
Yeah.
I showed up every week for practice. Went to games, got better and better. 9 months later, made the USA national team, got called up to play, went to Argentina, played against Mexico, Argentina, Chile, Brazil.
How'd you do?
I mean, it was my first experience in an international competition, so I was a little rusty, I was like a little shaky, because these guys were Olympians, so I was playing against.
Sure.
But it was a great experience and a great start. And 2 months ago, I just got back from Uruguay and Brazil, playing with the USA national team again.
Wow.
I was the 16th man on a 16-man roster 2 years ago. Now I'm a starter on the team.
Nice.
And a defensive specialist. So I had a lot more confidence with 2 more years of play and practice.
And where are you living now?
I'm in Los Angeles.
Is there anybody to play with? Or?
There's a team here, but okay. I go to New York as well and play in tournaments there.
Got it.
Yeah.
And so what's the goal?
The goal is the Pan American Games next year in Toronto, which is kind of like the Olympics of North and South America.
Yeah.
To qualify for that. And then if we get top two there, we go to the Olympics.
Nice.
So you've got to get win the Pan American Games to go.
So you are. I mean, it's an unbelievable story. Really, it is.
Thank you.
Even though it's not a sport that everybody knows, it's an unbelievable story because you come out of nowhere, you set your mind to something, it just goes to show you, right?
Yeah.
If the stay on track, you got the vision, and
there was definitely a lot of obstacles. I tore my groin twice. I broke some ribs. You know, it was just like injury.
Playing the sport.
Oh yeah, it's very physical. Yeah.
Wow.
Someone elbowed me in the throat, and I was bleeding from the throat internally for 3 days, and it was just a lot of setbacks. But yeah, it's very Spartan-esque.
That's good. What's your favorite exercise?
Right now, I really like doing kickboxing. You know, I used to be a CrossFitter for about 4 years, and I kind of got bored. I still do it every now and then, but kickboxing, I feel, is just a great total body workout. And if I have any anger or anything, it's gone. Because I'm exhausted.
So. How often are you working out?
Every day right now, because we're playing Puerto Rico in a month, 3 games against Puerto Rico, the USA team.
Is this stuff televised?
It'll be online, so I can send a link for you.
Yeah, send me. I want to watch it and see how you do.
It's fun.
I want to see if you know what you're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks for doing this.
Appreciate it, Joe.
God damn it, let's get going.
Did you have some coffee this morning, darling?
You want to step up to the mic?
Yes.
All right. Handball?
Hey, doesn't that annoy you? Shouldn't Spartan be in the Olympics before handball or rhythmic gymnastics or ping pong?
Now, handball is a legitimate sport. International sport.
It's tough. I mean, it's better than rhythmic gymnastics.
I got to say, I've never actually seen
pong.
It. I've never seen it live. I've seen it on the Olympics.
It's work. We used to play handball, probably not the right kind of handball back in Queens, and it's work.
Well, you played handball like racket. I mean, that's not what team handball is.
Team handball is more like a combination of basketball, hockey, rugby. It's an incredible sport. But here's the thing I'm looking at. This guy, he had a goal to be a professional football player. And I love the way he says, I got there and I didn't. I mean, I didn't get to the NFL. That was obviously what I was trying to get to. But I did play arena ball, broke my wrist. That dream was over. And then he fell in love with his other sport. And he realized, I could go to the Olympics. But the crazy thing about this, as he says, it's not like he was on a team and in an Olympic thing. He said, how do I do this? So he had to move to another city to try out for a team they had no idea if he'd make. Now, he's obviously got a strong athletic background, but it's the spirit and the enthusiasm this guy has where we talk about vision, we talk about laser focus. It's one thing to say, I want this, it's right there, I'm going to focus on it. He said, I'm going to focus on something years away on the other side of the continent in a sport that I've never played. And he's going.
You gotta believe you're a champion before you're a champion.
Yeah.
And he believed he was gonna get there, and so he's gonna get there.
Yeah, but he's also the question that you've asked repeatedly on many of the podcasts is, when do you pivot? When do you stop? If you're 300 meters short of the summit and the weather's bad, when do you draw that line? Mm-hmm. So here's a guy who had physical ailments. I mean, he had broken bones and everything, and basically was told or realized he wasn't gonna make it. But you wonder, he had the ability to go and become an Olympic athlete. Could he have tried one more year in football or something? I mean, how many other people could have made that pivot or have the awareness to make it? Yeah. How many other people
knew that pivot exists?
Right. How many other people would continue to try, not make it, or continue to try and make it? But he did. He made the decision, okay, this is not going to work. I got to take
Can't summit this mountain, so I'm going to go get the one next door.
It's interesting because you didn't ask him that question. You've asked it to many other people, and he's a guy who did make the turn. So
It looks like a successful turn.
Oh, yeah, no. Very successful.
Yeah.
And Sefer, I remember watching this one with you, and the idea that he has also created this thing called the School of Greatness, and it's about how can I help other people do this too.
To use these principles and lessons he's picked up
as
on and share.
As school's outside, I'm in.
The school is everywhere.
The school's on the internet. Right?
But again, I look at the fact that here's another example of a guy who obviously is a high level person doing incredible things and isn't just keeping it for himself. It's not that I'm going to go get there and I'm going to make it about me. For him, the handball was almost like a story to inspire other people. Like he wasn't bragging about it.
It's like our young prodigy piano player who yep. said that he plays for the audience's happiness.
Yeah, to make them happy, right? Mm-hmm. So here's a guy who's saying, hey, I found some really cool secrets and really cool tricks to get to where you want to get to. I'm going to create this thing called the School of Greatness and show it to other people. It's a neat way to leverage that and make a difference in the world.
Yeah, I mean, he basically, he did an assessment of his environment.
Oh, right? Perfect.
Right? I mean, he figured out the he figured out the route, people. He figured out the challenges, everything yep. else, the best way to get to where he wanted to be.
Yep.
You know, so if he wanted to be an Olympic athlete, this was a path to take.
Yep.
Now, I got to say, I don't know if he's expressly or explicitly said, I'm going to do this to become an Olympic athlete, or he just did that and became so good at it that he realized there was an opportunity to become an Olympic athlete.
Yeah.
I'm not sure there's a real distinction there, but you know, you got to praise a guy who makes it,
who doesn't quit.
He's exactly the Spartan that you're looking for. Here's a guy who overcame physical challenges and just went somewhere else and has become, you know, is going to be at the very top. He talked about that he was at 16 and now he's starting. And he was a defensive specialist, you know. So even within the game, he's found a niche.
Yeah,
you know. So
I want to encourage you to find out more about Lewis Howes. Go to SpartanUpPodcast.com, and we're going to have a link to the School of Greatness.
I think bow drill fire should be the Olympic sport.
What? Bow drill fire? What is bow drill?
Bow drill. Bow drill.
Find show notes, audio, and video from this episode at SpartanUpPodcast.com/065.
Or follow us on Twitter at SpartanUpPod. The Spartan Up Podcast is brought to you by Spartan.
To find a race near you, visit Spartan.com.